Welcome to the Connect You podcast, where we interview guests who have transformed their lives, whether in mind, body, health, or wealth. Connect You seeks to discover what drives people and makes them extraordinary. Brought to you by Lewis Jackson, who brings you exciting real-life stories, hot topics, and the truth.
Welcome back to the Connect You podcast. On today's episode, we have Jack Dwara. He is the founder of the Property Entrepreneurs Network. And there is a lot of you that will be familiar with Jack, but there is a lot of you that also don't know the backstory behind him. And I do. I've worked alongside Jack for a while now. I'll let him introduce himself. So Jack, thank you very much for jumping on. And please introduce yourself to the many listeners.
Thank you, Louis, for having me on this podcast. I'm the founder of PEN, PropertyEntrepreneursNetwork.com. It's a network based around, obviously, property. You can, let's say, if you are an investor, you can find more deals. If you're an agent, you can sell more investors and so on and so forth. There's loads of things that the platform allows you to do. It's a social platform as well, so you can actually interact with agents, investors, you know, suppliers, architects, planners, consultants, all sorts of people. But it's an interesting platform. When we started, we were, you know, just six, seven people. Now it's a network of sort of 50,000 plus people. Being fortunate enough, worked hard towards it as well. At the back end of it, we obviously do developments, investments ourselves. We are scaling a hotel chain as we speak. And also bringing something a bit more unique towards property industry, which no one has tried yet, I think. And we're going to bring a new twist to it very, very soon.
And I think that's what people, certainly myself, that's what I want to sort of get to understand as well, that you are the first person to create a social platform, social media platform within the property industry, if you like. You've got the Facebooks, the Twitters, TikTok, Instagram, but there's not a platform like what you've created within the property industry. What sort of drove you to start that?
I think when you study management, and I'm a management student, I studied leadership and management. One thing you always learn is to create your own ecosystem, irrespective of how small or big it is. So when you are running a business and you're depending on, for whatever reason, on another stakeholder within the business, you always have that risk of, you know, someone pulling out or not providing a service or whatever. When you have your own, like I said, irrespective of the size of the ecosystem within your business, you have less dependency on others. And that was the whole mind frame. I won't say whole mind frame, there was a lot more to it, but that was one of the core reasons for starting PEN. When we started, you know, it was all interacting on different platforms. And I thought, okay, you know, why don't we bring them into one platform and see how it works? And it started working really well. You know, it started working well. We, you know, at one point we have over £1 billion worth of properties on the portal being sold by between us and other agents on the online. At the moment, it's a bit less, but you know, it was over £1 billion. So it gets interesting. There are days when you know we'd only get maybe 100 people visit the website. There are other days, you know, we see over 1,000 people visit the website in a single day. So it just becomes a very interesting concept when you look at it and you see the interaction between people and people calling each other. And, you know, I get this all the time where someone calls me up and says, you know what, through your network, I found someone who became an investor, or you know, through your network, I found someone who gave us a property deal that we really made decent money on. And we've done a deal between us. You know, we know how we made money between each other, and the person who took the deal, he made some really good money out of it. But again, you know, I see this pretty much all day long, people messaging me. And in many cases, you know, we don't monetize that. We don't make that money. All they see is they get the benefit. So something like, you know, from Facebook and LinkedIn, even though they're not property focused, we still find people that you can do business with. But this is really property focused. That's unique about it. So the people you're going to find are purely based on property. So it just becomes interesting, yeah.
And what I find fascinating about that is that you've, and anyone that's in business or wants to get into business, I know this isn't your first venture. I know this isn't the time you've created a business and sold a business. However, we'll come on to that, is that you've done this in phases. You haven't just gone, this is what I want to do, and rolled it out. You've very sensibly, in my opinion, and gone, right, phase one, we're going to do this. phase two, we're going to do this. Can you walk us through those phases, please? Because I find that fascinating.
I think a lot of people make this mistake, and I've been that, you know, in my 20s as well, where I'd come across an idea and I'd just go and invest lots and lots of money into it without testing the idea itself. That's the wrong way of doing it. In fact, I come across a lot of people who think having a great logo is creating a brand, having a great website is creating a brand. I never do any of that. In fact, if you look at it now, it actually doesn't have a logo. There's no logo. Right, it's actually the third largest network in the country and has absolutely no logo, right? Because I don't want to go and spend that £20, because that's not what's going to make me money. Okay, yes, you can spend that £20, £200, whatever you want to spend on logo, but that's not what's going to make you money, or your website, or for that matter, you know, half a bunch of things that people do. When you start a business, the simple formula is show me that you can sell your product before you create or invest any money into it. Very, very simple. Very simple. You know, if let's say you want to start an estate agency, and I tell people not to because it's a saturated market, but let's say if you want to, right? Show me that you can go and find a landlord, you can get a property and you can sell it. Do not go and invest £5,000 on your website and realize that you can't sell. And that's...
You've created the proof of concept before you've even started.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's for phase one.
That is phase one. We went through phase two. I've taken slow on phase three. Very, very slow, because some of the things I can see are not working, which we've invested money on. Some of the things are working. So we're kind of filtering out and taking it very, very slow. Like I said, it's an ecosystem within our company, the way we work. Mm. It doesn't have to reach 10 million people. Even if it reaches 100,000 people, I'm happy. As long as what I invest in actually makes sense and makes money.
And where can, I'll come back to this, because the ecosystem I love, I think it's a fantastic model. But there's a reason that you started PEM. And let's talk about that. Obviously, when you first came to the UK. So obviously, when I met you in Slough and we had that green tea, I will never forget that. It's a moment I won't forget for the rest of my life. And anyone that gets the opportunity, please take that and go and meet Jack. Go and drive to Slough, because he gives you the opportunity to meet him in person.
Yeah.
Take the drive to Slough. But obviously, when you told me that, it's such a moving story. Please share it if you can with us again.
One thing that I've learned the hardest way in my life, which is, you know, I came as an immigrant in the country about 22 years ago. And I came with this mindset of, you know, someone is going to help me out. And I lived in that mindset for nearly 10 years in UK, in London. Till I got to a point where I was about 29 years old. And I still lived in that mindset of, okay, someone is going to come and help me, you know, invest money in my business or invest money in me to be able to create the business that I dreamt of. And I must say that I had a day when I had an argument with a family member, and it was the best day of my life in terms of, even though it was the most stressful day of my life, but it turned out to be, it's almost like, you know, the worst day of your life is actually a disguise to become the best day of your life kind of thing. And it became the best day of my life when I realized that you must never, ever depend on anyone on this planet to come and help you. The only person who's going to help you is you, unless you can create enough network around you, like I've been fortunate enough to create a network where, you know, people come and help each other and so on and so forth. But at the core, you must never depend on anyone. And that's the biggest learning that I had. And when I was going through the steep curve of learning, okay, you know, no one's going to come and help me. I have to get up and do my own work and create my own life. You know, I was sitting at 2 o'clock on a really, really cold evening, 2 o'clock in the morning, basically, you know, minus 10 degrees Celsius, minus 9 degrees Celsius in London. I was sitting outside on a stair, and I was almost imagining how I'm going to create my life. I was actually crying. But when I came back home, I couldn't actually sleep, maybe slept a couple of hours in the morning. But when I wake up, when I woke up with a kiss on the cheek from that family member that I'm talking about. And I realized that, you know, the family is there to love you, but doesn't mean that they're going to come and rescue you or help you out at all times. And I woke up, I went on to get registered to become a financial advisor. Within a period of a year, I was a qualified financial advisor. I was offered, you know, 60 grand back in 2008 and 9. I'm talking about 2009. And then I went to the city. I used to live in London. I was in Canary Wharf. And I knew the average income of a financial advisor is always the average income of the person that you serve, the area that you serve. Now, the average income of Canary Wharf is 80 grand. And I was sitting in Canary Wharf, and I had loads of clients there from my previous businesses. And most of them said to me, look, if you start, we're going to use you, which meant that I was going to go on 80 grand pretty much straight away. I was probably going to make a six-figure income. This is 2009. And I chose not to. Again, cutting the long story short, the biggest lesson that I've learned in my life is to, it's almost like you have to live with this mindset saying, no one's going to come and help you. No one's going to come and rescue you. You need to become that person who is going to help himself, herself, and you need to create opportunities. I insist on creating opportunities. Opportunities do not just lie around, okay? We live in a world, it's an information world we live in. Everyone can go after opportunities. After every opportunity, there's 100 people. You need to learn how to create opportunities. And if you can become that person, right, there's never going to be a time when you not have money in your pocket and freedom to live your life.
And observing you, this is the best piece of advice you've ever given me, in my opinion, is observe what I do. And that comes
observe from, what I do.
Yeah. Observe what you do. And that's going, I presume, off of the basis what you've gone through in your life and the success that you've created off of the back of it. And for anyone listening, yeah, I would say take that advice on board, because the observation of what you've done, not just the success, but your happiness, more importantly, the happiness you've created and that you've therefore given to others, for me, second to none. Park the success aside, because that...
I appreciate what you just said. I always tell people, you know, if you see someone who's always happy, okay, there's a reason. And all you got to do is just observe. Just observe, why is that person so happy? And if let's say you see a person around you who's got lots of money and you want lots of money, just observe that person. Observe the actions. It's not about what someone says sometimes. In most cases, it's what they do on day-to-day basis that creates that happiness, that creates that success, that creates that money in account, that creates that cash flow, that creates that business that they can sell for millions. It's what they do. Just observe. And there's so much learning in observing. It's not about what I just say. Observe about what I didn't say, what I didn't cover. Observe what I do. Observe what I don't do. In fact, it's more important to observe what I don't do than what I do.
I remember you said that as well.
Again, it's not about just me. Like I said, you could have people around you. And they could be investing in a certain strategy, right? Observe what they're doing, but observe more of what they don't do, because it's in what they don't do is what where success lies, not in what they do. A lot of people miss that, okay? Where they think opportunity is in what someone is doing. No, opportunity is what they are not doing more than what they're doing.
And that's such a valuable lesson for anyone that's listening to take on. That sentence alone will save you money, time, and effort that you don't need to expend. So obviously,
lots of tears.
And lots of tears. But obviously, I want to touch on, obviously, when you were sitting on that step at 2 a.m. in the morning, you've gone through a rough period back then. What obviously you said the reason why, but what made you go into that sort of sector, if you like, to becoming a financial advisor?
So I mean, to give you an example, I was an accidental landlord back in 2003. So I bought a property in 2003, I bought another one in 2007. And when I was looking at that point, I've always been, one of the things, again, a lot of people miss when they are starting a business or running a business is to focus on your strengths. You must always work on your limitations as well, I must say. But at the same time, work, you know, focus on your strengths. And when I looked at myself, this was, you know, like the 2008 and 9 period, I've always been an intellectual. So I was very good at studies. I was, you know, I was good at my education. I used to be one of those students who, you know, who was naughty, right? I'd be sitting, I was the backbencher. But then even then, I used to always top my class, right? So my teachers would look at me and say, you know, why do you sit at the back? You don't need to come to the front. And I just wouldn't do that because I was the naughty one. But at the same time, they just knew that I was going to top my class in most cases, right? They just knew. I wouldn't even study. I wouldn't even put too much effort into it. So I was always knew I was sort of intellectual person. So I could focus on a subject. I could focus on something and actually make it happen, right? One of the things that most people, again, don't have is when you start something always complete, which means irrespective of how much pain you go through, you got to complete it. So when I looked at myself, I said, okay, what is it that I can do where I would enjoy? I was wrong at that time. But at the same time, I could actually do it and be happy about it. So I thought, okay, finance would be the right thing. So I went on to do the finance course, realized that if I was to work in a corporate environment, I'm actually not going to enjoy. I like my freedom. I have been self-employed since 2003. So I never wanted to go back to a job, even though, like I said, I was at a point where I was easily going to make 100 grand working in a corporate environment, very easy. You know, I mean, I look back and think, okay, you know, I could have easily been on £500,000 if I was working back then from now to in finance industry. I actually left it, okay? So a learning curve. But at the same time, I realized that freedom is more important than money, okay? So it came down to a point where, you know, I was running a couple of other businesses, which I kind of was still running and carried on with that. And then I sold one of those businesses back in 2014. But it's almost like you're designing your life backwards. So when I look at 2009, I was going through a steep learning curve of, you know, understanding my own strengths and limitations and working on my strengths more than my limitations and delegating the rest. At the same time, designing your life backwards is very important, which I didn't know back then. Okay. I learned this probably to 2014, 15, designing your life backwards. What do I mean by that? Let's say you want to invest, you know, you want to work, I don't know, let's say you want to work 40 hours a week, okay, or 50 hours a week, or 60 hours a week, or 30 hours a week, doesn't really matter. And you want to invest the rest of the time, maybe learning guitar or, you know, with your family or, you know, sitting on a beach, you know, having a tequila or whatever. Design your life backwards and say, okay, if I was working 30 hours a week, that's what I want to do. Having the freedom that I want to, what is it that I can do to be able to create that life? And that's where most people get wrong. They'll start a business front to the back rather than back to the front, and they'll create a trap where even though they might be making money, but they're not free. They just don't have the freedom to enjoy their life, okay? It again goes back to understanding of business structures and business, you know, how you want to scale your business. You know, some people just want, you know, what they call the lifestyle business, right? Lifestyle business is, you know, you make 100 grand, 200 grand, whatever that might be, you're never going to get to, you know, 5 million in a lifestyle business, okay? You're just never going to get there. But if you want a business that actually is a performance business, they call it a performance business, which is scalable, you go past a certain number of, you know, employees and X number of revenue and profits, you got to decide at one point, what is it you want to do? Do you want a freedom business, lifestyle business, or do you want to create a performance business? If it's performance business, it may not necessarily give you the freedom, at least initially for the first 10 years. Okay.
You just answered the question of a lot of these people, and this is no disrespect to anyone that's listening. It's got a business, but I think a lot of people are concentrating on hitting the target that's completely out of reach at this precise moment.
Yeah.
Seeing the figure, let's say, reach 6K or 10K a month or whatever it is that you see all over social media right now, rather than going, right, it's one brick at a time. Like what you're doing, phase one. Stop.
Yeah. A lot of people miss that. In fact, one thing I learned, again, a long time ago, and I don't even remember who said that, but most people kind of overestimate what they can achieve in a year and underestimate well underestimate what they can achieve in 10 by keeping one brick at a time. You know, they just start a business, say, okay, I want to make 10 grand a month. Well, you're not going to make 10 grand a month in most cases in your first year. You're just not going to get there. But you can get to not just 10 grand, but 100 grand a month if you stick around for 10 years, 15 years. And that's something a lot of people massively get wrong.
Especially if they're chasing money. And a lot of the time, lot of the time, that's not the driver. And that's that's why people don't stick around.
No, they're starting because they're chasing money. And most people don't know that money is a secondary motivation. It's not a primary reason. You know, once you, let's say you start a business and you start to make, let's say, 100 grand a year, what you're going to get is if you start chasing money, you're going to become complacent. And if, let's say, you didn't make that money, the main reason was because your primary driver is wrong. One thing everyone needs to learn is you don't start a business because you want to make money. You start a business because there's actually a gap in the market. There's a pain in the market, a gap in the market that you can fill better than someone else. Otherwise, you don't start a business. And not in this day and age.
And it's all about providing value. And serving people value.
Yeah, serving people. Yeah, massively. Again, something people massively get wrong is you need to make your stakeholders feel that they're getting more value. In fact, twice the value of what they are giving you. So if you're charging £1, they need to feel they're getting £2 worth of value. And if you're not able to do that, the likely is that your business ain't going to scale or succeed.
Yeah,
serving again is very, very important. Most people don't realize this, that you gotta, when you start a business, you have to, I am insisting that you have to become a person who's not expecting a lot. Okay, you're serving with zero expectations, and the likely is if you go and serve 100 people, that maybe 2 or 3 out of them will reciprocate and buy from you. And that's how the business works.
And it doesn't have to always come in the form of a monetary value exchange. It can come in a form of content, or, for example, a podcast or whatever it may be.
It can be in any form.
A text or a call or whatever it is.
I'll give you an example. When I started PEN, we were doing lots of events for free. You know, I remember when I did my first event, this was a live event in 2018, if I can remember, or early part of 19. And this was, like I said, it was a free event. Obviously, people paid for their food and so on. But people turned up and there was about 33, 34 people, if I can remember. And that was in the city bank where the Bank of England is. And I still know almost 30 people out of the 33 or 34 that turned up still do business with them. Okay. Wow. And I still remember the second event that we did was a Zoom event. And I think we had about 50 plus people turn up. Out of those 50, I think we still have about 40 of those people still do business with us. Okay. And the only reason for that was I remember when I did the second event, which was the online event, I had actually put all my heart and soul into it, you know, sharing all the strategies that people can focus on chronologically, you know, in chronological order of, you know, which are the most profitable, which are the least profitable, where you can put more effort, which requires least effort, and so on and so forth. And I still remember after that event, I had over a period of like a month, I had shy of maybe 1,000 people message me saying, you know, what a fantastic event. And we watched your video later. Obviously, it was recorded. We watched it later. But I, you know, so many people message me just saying, you know what, thank you for that event that you did. We have so much more clarity in terms of what is it that we want to focus on. And again, that led to a point where, you know, again, like I said, people get this wrong, where it's brick by brick. I didn't start making money immediately, lots of money, when I was doing those events. I started making money, you know, 12, 24 months later. I had a month where, in fact, this year, the month of July, just in commissions, and I'm not going to talk about the investments that we have, just in commission of some of the deals that we did, we brought in 35 grand, just in a single month.
And that's through other people doing deals with yourself?
people doing deals with us or through our collaborations.
Yeah.
Well, just in a single month.
Similar to what we've done, wasn't it?
But again, this is not the result of the month of July that I worked in. In fact, I didn't do any work in July because I was focused on scaling the hotel business.
Yep.
This is the work that was done in 2017, 18, 19, 20 that led to a point where we're now kind of making that kind of money.
And I think that's very important for people to obviously understand that it's you've got to put the work in at the start.
Yeah. And keep building on it.
I hope people that they take that on board. I say, you've got to book a call with Jack to take that on board. Now, obviously, I want to talk about you've not always had a very you haven't had a successful business. You've had other ventures that you've sold off.
Yes.
So it hasn't always been PEN. So
No. So if I was to give you an example, again, this is something a lot of people get wrong is that every venture that you're going to start is going to do well. The answer is, in my case, if I was to give you an example, I have been successful in only maybe 10% of the ventures that I've ever started. So most of them, 90% of them failed. And if anyone tells you that they've only done one venture and they've been successful, okay, unless you're Mark Zuckerberg, which was very successful, the likely is that they're lying to you, okay? You know, one thing I remember, you know, John Howard shared in one of our events, and he's a very well-known person in the development space. He said, show me one developer or a property investor who says he's not lost money in a deal, and I'll show you a liar. And I say this all the time when I speak. I say, show me one person who says, I've not failed a venture, and he's a successful person, I'll show you a liar. Okay? There's absolutely no way you're going to start at least 5 or 10 businesses before you really pick one that actually scales or actually makes you any money. Okay? So don't hesitate if you come across a something that you started, you invested maybe, you know, 5, 10, 20 grand, or maybe even 100 grand, and it didn't do well, right? Don't drag it, come out of it, start another one. The likely is that, again, I learned this, you know, with a lot of difficulty and experiences, you only need one idea to work for you in your life. One. And if that one works well for you, you'll do really well. You don't need 20 ideas. Yes, you can work on 20 different ideas and so on and so forth, but you only need one that will make you really, really good money.
And I think it's very important for people to recognize that as well, coming from someone like yourself, Jack, that's obviously been on both ends of the spectrum. That's gone from nothing to currently where you are now, but it wasn't always the way. You've had bad experiences. Yes, you've had some good in between, and now it's obviously going really well, but through hard work, determination, grit and determination. But it's important for people to understand that if they want that, they are going to have to go through some failure. They will go through it. It's a fact.
They will go through failure. In fact, I would go as far as to say actually failure is good for you. It's very, very simple. It actually makes you it gives you the strength, the resilience, it actually helps you build that resilience to be able to lead a performance style business. Okay. Unless you haven't gone through a few failures, you're just not prepared to create a performance business. You just can't scale. You know, unless you become that person who can say, okay, let me put it in different words for you, okay? Unless you become the person who could say 99 times no to say one yes, if you haven't become that person, and unless you go through failures, you're just not going to become that person. You say 99 no's to a one yes in comparison to become the person who's going to attract success.
I'm glad that you've just said that. Why do you think we as a population, not just people in business, struggle to say the word no?
We are people pleasers by nature. Human name. In fact, the funny thing is, my traditional name is Jagjeet, which actually means winning the heart of people. Okay? Now, you know, it's a name given 42 years ago by my parents. But by nature, genetically, we are born as people pleasers. We want to please the person next to us. Okay? But unfortunately, you're just not going to become successful by pleasing others. You're just not going. The only person you need to please is you. And the only way you can please yourself is by saying 99 no's before you say one yes. And that is the only way to be successful and not just to be successful. A lot of people, again, don't know this, is that it's easy to become successful. Okay, a lot of people think becoming successful is difficult. It's not. It's easy to become successful. It's 10 times more difficult to keep success. And unless you become that person who can actually say 99 no's, you're just not going to keep success.
So would you say it's focused attention on your business is harder than obviously just the attention part? Because people that I come across now, their attention is focused on building a success, but actually keeping that attention focused on building a business is a lot harder.
It is 10 times, 10 times. I mean, again, you know, if you look at the average of the world, out of every 10 people, 8 are just not successful. Two of those who are successful are, let's take an average of 100, because it's more easier. Out of 100 people, 80 are not successful.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of live the life that they have to rather than they want to. The 20% that are successful, only the top 1%ers actually have the full freedom to enjoy the life that they want. The rest of the 17% still are successful, not necessarily as successful as they would like to be, still struggle with a few things. The 2% are fairly successful, have the freedom, maybe not 100% of it, maybe 90, 95% of it. And then you have the 1% who have all the freedom in the world. But you're not going to be able to, and to be able to get the gist of how it all works is you need to be able to speak with those 3%ers, or for that matter, the 3%ers, to say, how do you not just become successful and create the freedom at the back of that, but how do you actually keep that success? I mean, if you look at FTX, the guy was worth £30 billion and loses everything overnight. You know, a lot more easy to become successful. It's 10 times harder to keep success. And like I said, unless you go through a few failures and a lot more hard days, you're just not going to become that person. You need those failures. You need those hard days. You need the hard stakeholders. You need the hard employees, difficult employees, to have those conversations to become a person that actually build that resilience within you. Makes you that, you know what they call the CEOs. If you read about the Jack Welch's, you know, if you read about the Elon Musk's, right? You know, we talk about Elon Musk a lot. But if you talk about those guys, and if you study their lives, right, they will tell you that initially how success was so easy. But then they will tell you how difficult it was to retain that success.
Yeah.
So much more harder. And if you go and read the book of Jack Welch, right, you know, he's written one book. I keep forgetting the name of the book, but he's written one book where he actually compares his life to the CEO of Sony. And when he says, you know, everything that Sony did right and many things that I did wrong, even then I was more successful than Sony, because Sony was just striking with bad luck every time. Okay? So keeping that success is way more harder. And the only way you can actually make this probability more in your favor is by spending more time with those 3%ers in the world. That is the only way. I can't tell you how many people actually say no to just saying, you know what, I just don't have the time. I'm not interested in your idea. It's unbelievable. And the number of people it pisses off, I'm fine with that. If you take it personally, you just haven't learned to be successful yet.
And again, people got to take that advice on board. And success will mean different things to certain people. But I think something that I'm passionate about, and I know that you are as well, success for me is being happy, as I touched on earlier. And for yourself, a question that I've got for me, I don't know if your viewers will want to listen to this as well, but your family, being as successful, in my opinion, as you are, how has it impacted your family, or has it impacted your family at all with how you built the business up over a certain amount of years? And then, was you away a lot at all, or has it now enabled you the freedom? So my question to you really is, did it impact the family life when you was working away, creating the events, or the time away from the family?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. There's absolutely no way. You know, people who talk about balance, you know, I see a lot of gurus, you know, and I have a lot of respect for gurus. I mean, don't get me wrong, the guru word just means, a lot of people don't know the meaning of the word guru, which is teacher, right? You know, there are lots of Indian teachers, yogis, and they talk about balance in life. And they're actually right. They're actually right. You know, by all means, you've got to have balance in life. But don't expect that you're going to become the successful person that you want to be in your head by looking for balance in your life. That's just not going to happen. You've got to lose some balance for at least a certain period of time, maybe 10, 15, 20 years, before you can create the freedom at the back of that. Okay, you're just not going to... So yes, balance is good. It's actually good for life. It's good for nature, good for yourself. But you're just not going to find that balance when you're running a business, especially for the first few years. At the same time, a lot of people don't realize that if you want to be successful, and I'm going to come to the word happiness and success, the meaning of it, right? People have just very wrong definitions of it, right? Just completely wrong definitions. I can assure you, most people have absolutely wrong definitions of the word in itself, happiness and success. But if you want to be successful, whatever that means for you, you got to sacrifice something. You need to sit down and write down what is it that you're going to sacrifice. And if you can't sacrifice, forget about success. Okay? You got to write what is it that you're prepared to sacrifice. Okay? I have worked day in, day out, really hard work, even though hard work is only 25% of the equation of success. Even then, you have to put that hard work in. You have to put smart work in, right? That's 25% of the equation. But at the same time, going back to the meaning of happiness and success, a lot of people connect success to, oh, I got to have a lot of money. That's not what it's about. Absolutely not. I think money is maybe only 10% of the equation of success. Maybe 10%. If let's say you have £1 million or £10 million or £100 million in your account, right? And you have a headache, right? And that headache just doesn't go away. One day, 2 days, month, 2 months later, 3 months later. The likelihood is that you'll walk up to a doctor and say, you know what, I'll give you £100 million. Please help me get rid of this headache. Okay? So money is only a very small equation of success. It's your health. It's your spiritual. So your connectedness to yourself or to whatever you believe in, right? Feeling connected to yourself, your health, your family, you know, your well-being in terms of your emotional well-being, okay? I think there's some stats out there. They might be wrong or right. I'm not as clear on that. But out of every 6 people out of 10, that's 60% of the world's population, suffers from some sort of mental illness. Imagine that. Imagine that, right? So if you are struggling with all of that and you could have lots of money in your account, it doesn't mean anything, right?
Oh, I was just coming on to that. I'll let you finish, but yeah, go on.
Sorry. Yeah. And again, going back to the definition of happiness, if you were happy all the time, let's say you were happy 4 or 5 days straight in a row, the likelihood is you're going to get so bored, you'd be like, what the hell do I do? Try that. Happiness is not about being happy all the time. Happiness is about being happy with yourself. That means you are growing spiritually, you're growing intellectually, you're growing socially, you're growing emotionally, you're growing financially, you're growing with your health, your fitness. If you have all of that in a certain way balanced in your life, the likelihood is that you're going to be happy most of the times that you need to. The rest of the times that you're not happy, you're not supposed to be. Because you need this to be able to not just get bored of happiness. Does that make sense? Need the low mood and the high mood and the medium mood. You need all of that in your life. It's almost like it's almost like embracing every thought, every moment, and every incident in your life or whatever is happening in your life. It's almost like you're embracing that. Becoming that person means happiness. Happiness just doesn't mean you're happy all the time. No. And again, a lot of people have this wrong definition of it.
The reason I ask that is because a lot of people are coming to me and they conflate the two. Not only do they conflate the two, but they feel abnormal. And again, what you've just touched on, I was going to touch on each point. And I reflect back to what you said when we said we was in Slough, and we've had many conversation about what you've just mentioned there. And if anyone gets the chance, I've seen what you do. You post about your emotional well-being, obviously your physical health, obviously pictures of you in the gym. And I can see the evidence of what you're doing, how you're keeping yourself in shape physically, mentally, emotionally, and so on and so forth. But for people that can't see that, what sort of tips or tricks would you advise people to do, apart from the obvious, go to the gym? I know one, for example, that Jack would say, I may not, he may advise something different. I don't know anyone that reads as many books as Jack.
that's actually true.
To feed his brain in like positive energy.
Yeah,
you read so many books, and I think that's fascinating as well.
Here is something that I learned a long time ago. Okay, if you just get your basics right. Basics. I'm going to talk about two different basics, right? One basic is your life's basics, your habits, right? And one basic is your business basics, which is your basics, right? And I'm going to tell you a very quick story. There was a seminar of nearly 1,000 people, and the host actually asked a question like, who here applies every guerrilla marketing tactic in their business? Every single one of them, there's about 140 plus guerrilla marketing tactics. And only one hand went up out of 1,000 people. Only one. And the host went to the guy and he said, you know, so tell me about your business. He goes, you know, we turn over 12 million plus. We are the biggest company in the region, so on and so forth. Okay. And he goes, the simple formula is it takes a day to read guerrilla marketing or 2 days or a week. What most people don't do is actually do the work. And, you know, apply that marketing tactic and then make it automated and then jump on to the next one, applying the basics. Everyone knows, most people don't apply. One out of 1,000 people. Other side of the coin, your life. Everyone knows that you must go to the gym. Everyone knows you must eat well. Everyone knows you must read for at least 20 minutes, half an hour a day. Everyone knows you must go and do what you're saying you're going to do. Everyone knows that you must stick to what you're doing till it's done. Everyone knows that, you know, you gotta spend some time on your emotional growth, on your spiritual growth, on your intellectual growth, on your physical growth, on your social growth. Everyone knows this. We live in an information age. One out of 1,000 people is an example where what most people do. Okay? Do I do everything? Every day? The answer is no. I sometimes struggle. You know, I'd wake up, everything is going wrong and I just can't go to the gym. Okay, but how many days do I actually go? I still do at least 4 to 5 days, sometimes 6, sometimes even 7 days a week. Okay, but in the worst case scenario, I still go 4 days. Getting your basics right. Either it's your daily habits or it's your business. If you get your basics right, you don't need to learn advanced strategies. You can get to that point. You can go and speak with someone who's made, you know, 200 million or 500 million selling their company, learning an advanced strategy. You can do it later. First, get your basics right. Most people don't do it. I have come across many. I personally know a billionaire. He's a chairman of a listed company, right? Struggles with health, struggles with many other issues. And that's purely because he's focused too much on money and not on other aspects of life. Okay. And that's not success. I can assure you that. You could be why do you need a billion? You know, the social media has ruined the concept of success in and itself. Why do you need to become a billionaire? I came across a person who was the CEO of a listed company. He was worth 200 million. Okay. He said to me, when you get to 100 million, everything else is just a number. It's you can't buy a better property. You can't walk into a better restaurant. You can't buy a better car. You can't have more freedom once you reach 100 million. Okay, the target could be 10 million, 100 million. You don't need to become a billionaire to live a good life. In fact, you don't even need 10 million to live a good life. You only need about 20, 30 grand a month to live an amazing life. Like you could live a superhuman life if you make maybe 30 grand a month. That's 1,000 grand a day, right? I know it's not easy getting to that point, but it's not that difficult either. Okay. And again, going back to the definitions of, you said, anything that's beyond what people don't know, the answer is just get your basics right. It's not rocket science.
And again, what I feel was important to that is to add on to that, is being part of a community like PEM, where you can see people sticking to the basics, really. Because that's what it is. To me, it's basic. It's fundamental to have a habit. And that's what I've mentioned so many times on a podcast. I said it to yourself. Anyone that knows me is, if I don't have my foundation set, then it doesn't just impact my home life, my emotional state. It would impact the business, which then has a snowball effect. And again, obviously, I don't want to dwell on that too much, but you've just touched on exactly what I would have said as well. So for anyone listening, it's not just myself. Other guests have said the same thing. You've said it perfectly as well. So
let me show you a very quick story before we end the session, okay? I was at a point in life where, you know, I didn't have a lot of successful people around me, okay? And I said, okay, how do I surround myself with successful people? So I started reading, right? When you read a book about someone who's been successful in whichever aspect of their life, right? They could be a lot more happy. They could be more, they may have more money, or they may have whatever it is that you're looking for, right? You are actually imaginatively surrounding yourself with that person by reading that book, okay? If you can't find a person in that space, right? So first, if you can't find people, go and surround yourself with books. The likely is that when you read that book, you're going to attract a person in that space of success, whatever that may be. You're going to attract someone who you can surround yourself with.
Fantastic. I mean, I wanted to touch on your hotels, but I appreciate that you've got your, obviously, pretty strapped for time. We will have you back on if you're happy to come back on. But Jack, I want you to just tell people where they can come and find you, if possible, please.
They can find me, pretty much everyone listening. You can find me on almost all commercial social platforms. I like to be more active. I'm not as active as I'd like to be, but I am. You can still find me on, you know, Facebook as Jack Dhawra, Jack Simple Dhawra, Dhawra, on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, pretty much most of the commercial channels. You can find me there. If you'd like to connect with us, just send us a quick message on these social platforms. We're more than happy to add you to our community of like-minded people who can actually pull you towards where you'd like to be rather than drag you down.
100%. Guys, I can't stress enough, we haven't actually scratched the surface of what the community can do, what Jack has been able to do, what he's done for myself. So the next session, when Jack does come on, we're going to be talking about everything property, branding, just absolutely everything. It would explode your business. It will take you from zero to wherever you want to go, but we'll map out a plan for you on the next session. So all the links will be in the description. Jack, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, Louis. Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolute pleasure, buddy.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Connect You podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share this on your socials, tag me, and leave a review.